Greetings and salutations. It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, yours truly, and John
Shannon.
Hello, Robert.
With you today. We announced at the beginning of the program, for those of you who wish to just turn us off, that we don't have a guest today. If that's what you're looking for, if that is the essence of why you watch or listen to this, then don't waste any more time. Because I'm left with Shannon.
You make it sound punitive.
It is rather. I will say this much. It is not because we couldn't get one. We could very easily have gotten one. We just decided to do this today.
Well,
and we didn't explore the reasons why. It was just a suggestion that came up, and everybody went, okay, sure.
Well, every once in a while, Bob, we need to hear more of your opinions.
And less of yours? Is that the concept here? You didn't finish the sentence completely.
No, I did. There was a period at the end of that one. There was a period.
So we'll talk a little bit about baseball. We'll talk a little bit about the NHL and preseason. And we'll talk a bit about NBA vaccine stuff. And who knows what else.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Tom Brady's going back to New England this weekend too, you know, so it's...
Yeah, but he's not, like, he hasn't been traded or anything, just so people don't get all panicky. Tampa Bay will play the Patriots this week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I don't doubt he'll get an ovation. And, he won't be booed, will he? I can't imagine that.
Well, he shouldn't be, but, you know, and there'll be a beautiful musical tribute. And Tom, thank you for 20 wonderful years and six
and look
Super Bowl appearances. And
guy's the greatest quarterback in history. If he doesn't deserve it, nobody does. We'll come back. We'll chat some more when the podcast continues after these messages. So it seemed that the MVP race in the American League essentially boiled
down. Hold on. Before you talking about that.
What?
What'd you think of the game last night?
Well, it's pretty exciting.
Oh,
much more exciting than the game on Tuesday.
Yeah. I tell you what, last night, it was one of those nights where you sit there and say, man, why can't baseball be like this all the time?
Wow.
And that was gripping stuff. When you think the Jays got out to that huge lead. 4-0. But then the Yankees just chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And then, the cliche of, the Jays showing some character and the Bichette home run in, what was it, the eighth? Seventh or eighth?
Eighth inning, bottom of the eighth.
And the win and having 30,000 people in the building last night. Man, oh, man, that was, at this time, that's why baseball, and you know, it's a long season. That's why you like watching baseball at this time of year. That people will remember that game, even if, and claim to have been there. For a long time.
Not if the Blue Jays don't make it.
Well, no, I'm making the assumption that this is the watershed moment and they do make it, but I'm not suggesting they will. But,
yeah.
I mean, they got to win tonight, right?
No, they got to win tonight. And I don't know. And at least take at least 2 or 3 from Baltimore. That may not even get them in, but
yeah,
you got at least 2 or 3. And well, of course, there's no guarantee.
No, and well, listen, Boston got back in the winning track in Baltimore last night too. So, and they're in the same boat. They have to win 2 of 3 against Baltimore before they finish on the weekend. So,
can we get to the MVP stuff?
Hey, Bob, it's your show.
Well, not really. It's yours too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
shared experience.
Why not? with the listener.
Somebody's got to babysit you.
Oh, come on.
And it's been me for years and years.
Oh, yes.
Now,
you've done a marvelous job.
Well, I don't know about
that. You've done a marvelous job. I was going to say it was the other way around, but that's okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've had plenty of babysitters over the years.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Most of them have not lasted as long as you.
Yeah.
Which may say something, but I'm not exactly sure what.
Good point.
So, it appeared almost through the entire season it was Guerrero or Ohtani for the MVP. For a long time, it was Ohtani, and nobody was going to touch him. And then Guerrero kept hitting home runs and, mm-hmm. led the league in all kinds of statistics, and well, most offensive statistics, and you could make a case for Guerrero. But you would like to add another name to this list. And actually, it has been mentioned.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I think you're right if you're assuming it's going to get mentioned even more often.
I think, and I think it has to. And I must give our buddy Dave Perkins, the King of the Jacket, credit for suggesting that Marcus Semien should be the, should get consideration or should be the most valuable player in the American League. When you think of what he plays a much more difficult position, I think, than first in playing second base. So he's more involved in the defense for the team. He's now has the record for the most home runs for a second baseman in Major League Baseball.
History.
Yeah, history. I do now think that you know, and I think we all gravitate towards Guerrero because we've gravitated to Guerrero since he was drafted. But Marcus Semien, first year player here, about great bounce back year. Wow, I do think now that he deserves consideration. And what's going to happen now, in my opinion, is that Guerrero and Semien are going to split the vote.
That's right, and Ohtani's going to wind up winning it.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, I mean, it's fine, but I just think that, you know, between now and the vote, I do think that there should be more discussion about Marcus Semien being that guy as opposed, because you're not, when people, you know, those 30,000 people that were at the stadium, you know, they're, when he gets up, they're not chanting MVP, you know, they're just, they're doing it with Guerrero. And I think they should be chanting MVP for Semien too. I really do.
Well, I mean, you can make that argument.
What do you, second base is a much more difficult position to play, don't you think, Bob?
Without question.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is a guy who was a shortstop who converted to second base simply to appease Toronto Blue Jay management, and because Bo Bichette was at short and the Blue Jays didn't want to move him around. I mean, you can't say anything negative about Semien and his performance and the way he's handled himself, mm-hmm. and his leadership skills. You know, along with Springer, these are the two guys that have kind of babysat the younger guys. But at the end of the day, we can sit here and wail all we want, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Semien's going to get some votes and deserves them. Guerrero's going to get some votes and deserves them. But the two of them will split votes, essentially, and Ohtani winds up winning. Mm-hmm. And probably by a wider margin. A significantly wider margin than he would have if Semien hadn't had this kind of year.
Yeah.
And I'll even say this. If Semien had fallen one home run short of the record for second baseman, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That single achievement will draw significant attention to Semien.
Outside of Toronto.
Outside of Toronto, correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
By guys who have maybe seen him play two or three times this year.
Right.
And that's essentially what happens is you, this notion of it being an eyeball test is laughable. It isn't. It's a bunch of ink stained wretches who, because they have a vote at the end of the year, pull out that piece of paper or that email or whatever and say, okay, what's everybody got here? And you compare stats.
Well, and
Ohtani has the advantage of having been in the news more than anybody else.
And it's even more obvious this year, Bob, when writers aren't traveling as much and everything is done, you know, with remotely, you know, press conferences are remotely. People aren't walking through the clubhouse talking to players. I mean, you know, what Aaron Judge said about the MVP should, you know, being Guerrero, it should be Guerrero. Might carry some weight, but if he had said it with 15 reporters in front of his stall in the clubhouse, it might have more impact. You know,
I don't know. Do you think
that's back? I do. I do. I think that, you know, that distance, that remoteness for the baseball writers, for any writer in any sport, I think it changes their mentality a little bit because they don't feel they're getting that proximity to the athletes.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we'll be able to calculate what the impact of Judge's statement is. And it's You know, obviously, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you respect his statement. But I honestly don't. I'm not sure that it
makes so any difference. So does
if
so
you
does,
had 50 players that were all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Now maybe it does.
So does the Simeon discussion change your opinion of the MVP? Are you still voting Vladdy? Or are you voting Ohtani? I just assumed you were voting Vladdy.
I would have voted Vladdy. And you should not. You still should look at the overall performance, but the last 2 weeks, Vladdy has been horrible at the plate. Mm-hmm. And even his double down the left field line last night was really nothing more than a ground ball. It was a bouncer. He isn't getting any elevation. Everything is on the ground. And he's in a slump. And look, he's entitled to be, he still will have, if he doesn't get another hit the rest of the year, it'll still be a great year.
Yeah.
But that does affect your vote, I think. It certainly has impacted mine. And I don't, right now, I would say it's a coin flip between the three of them. Because I'm with you. Semien's performance is memorable, and it has been absolutely impactful for the Toronto Blue Jays.
And perhaps more consistent.
But if I'm going to take, and this is the dilemma that I face, if I'm going to take Semien's 44 home runs into consideration because it's the most ever by a second baseman, then how can I dismiss Ohtani's pitching performance? Along with 40, whatever, five home runs.
I think he's 40. Isn't he 47 now?
Well, maybe he is. I don't know. Whatever he is.
Big numbers.
You know, I. It may wind up leading me to Ohtani.
Well, when we talked about it on Monday and somebody asked you, who would you rather have on your team, Ohtani or Guerrero? It does create an interesting conversation.
Well, the answer is both. I'd rather have both.
Yeah, well,
I mean, and Semien too.
And well, the only team that it can afford that are the Dodgers. So,
well,
or the Yankees. I guess the Yankees could.
So. Rogers can afford it.
No, they don't.
I mean, they just shedded how many hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in salary and media.
The I don't cheap know about bastards. That. I don't know about that. Come on.
Well. You know, I mean, they did. That's what they did. Once again, they shuffled the deck on the Titanic.
Changing landscape. You know that as well as I do.
Well, I know what I understand it. I get the agenda.
Yeah. And
I think it's absurdly stupid. Yeah. And they have continued to be stupid for a lengthy period of time.
Well, yeah, here the thing, I mean, I don't know what we weren't intending to talk media, but the thing is that, you know,
well, you brought it up.
No, you actually brought it up.
No, you brought up Rogers.
I said the Dodgers. No, you brought up Rogers.
Rogers can afford it.
I said the Dodgers are the only one can afford it. No, then you said Rogers can afford it. I didn't bring it up. I'm not talking about it.
$4 billion a quarter.
I'm not talking about it.
That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah. So so before we stop talking about awards, Gerrit Cole's display last night, Ray on the mound tonight.
If Ray is anywhere close to what we've seen,
yeah,
he's the Cy Young winner.
Yeah, I wonder, and it's fascinating that it can all be, you know, whittled down to two games. Is this the deciding week that Gerrit Cole?
Well, not really, because I pointed out, if you will recall, with the day when the Daves were on, Hodge and Perkins, that this guy has not pitched well in the month of September. He has not. He has not been the same guy he was for the first 5 months of the year.
Right.
He's been not horrible, but he's been ordinary. And nine hits last night.
Yeah. I wonder how healthy he really is. I mean, well, you know, he's got a hamstring issue.
I'm sympathetic
issue
to that. If
no,
that's
I know.
The case.
I know. I just
but
wonder.
That doesn't factor into the voting.
No, I understand.
Performance factors into the voting.
Yeah.
And he has not been good in the month of September. And Ray has been.
Right.
Ray has done exactly what in the month of September, exactly what he did the first 5 months of the season. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if Ray gets lit up in game three against the Yankees, maybe you got a case. Maybe then there's, okay, we got to go look at it. But if he gives up one run, two runs, he wins.
So in
real, and that costs terms, the Blue Jays if they're interested in bringing him back.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe you hope the Blue Jays win 9-8 tonight and Ray gets knocked out in the second inning.
Well, no, if you can get another 6-5 game, and like you did in game two of the series, you get a 6-5 game. So let me ask you this. I know it's not mathematical, but is game three of the series against the Yankees, now that it's split, is this the Blue Jays season?
In all likelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot say that mathematically.
Right.
But in all likelihood, as I said, I think they have to win tonight and win minimum 2 of 3 from Baltimore. Now, that's simple math. That doesn't guarantee you anything. But that's what they're facing. If they win tonight and sweep Baltimore, they should get in.
Yeah.
But again, they're in a position now where they need a little bit of help. And they got none last night.
Nope.
Got no help from anybody.
Nope.
Boston won. Seattle won.
Yeah. No, Seattle's got an off day today. So,
well,
but they play it's interesting. They play the Angels on the weekend. So, and if Ohtani can be a factor in that series against the Mariners.
Well, got to get hot at the right time in the Mariners. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Right, we've gone the 100, we're in that 100 and what is this? Tonight's 158. 158th game, and
things are so, actually, John.
It is. Oh, okay. Well, don't they have three more against Baltimore?
Yeah. So yeah, tonight is 159, and then you got 60, 61, and 60.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, you're better at math than I am.
Oh, yeah.
So it's amazing that they play this many games and these teams are this close. It really is when you think about it.
Well, it's been, this is what you want, but you don't often get it.
But people were saying in April, you know what? It's going to come down to that Yankee series near the end of the season.
And here we are.
Yeah. And we thought, oh, that can't be. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
And a month ago, you said, well, Blue Jays are out of it.
Right.
It'd take a miracle. But there was a miracle.
Yeah.
Even with the Yankees surging ahead, Boston stumbled while the Blue Jays won, 19 of 23 and got themselves back in it. We'll see what happens tonight.
If they make the playoffs, is this more prolific than 2015 when they were one game under 500 at the trade deadline?
No, it's not as dramatic. Okay. I don't know, you said prolific, but I would say that was the more dramatic thing, because that's being dead.
Yeah.
And coming back. This has been impressive.
Yeah.
But I don't think quite that impactful. Now, that team did not make it to the World Series.
Nope.
If by some stretch of the imagination, this team does make it to the World Series, well, then you got a real argument, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the impact. We will see. The NBA's vaccine policy and the NHL's preseason, and why do they even play? We'll talk about those things when we come back after these messages. Bob McCown, John Shannon with you on the podcast today. So the NBA has a policy now.
They must have heard you yesterday, Bob. They must
get vaccinated or you don't play.
Yeah.
And you don't get paid.
Yeah. Which is,
and that is exactly the right answer.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
No, I don't think there's any question about it. And basically they ended up following public health in New York, public health in San Francisco, that said every player has to be vaccinated to play, to get into the arena rather. It's just common sense. It really is. And the distrust of the vaccine, I don't think you or I either understand that, but it'll be interesting to see what the blowback is. Does a guy like Kyrie Irving not play this year? Does Andrew Wiggins opt out? Are we going to see guys turn down that type of money? And we're not talking chump change, right, Bob? We're talking...
Oh, no, you're talking $20+ million.
Yeah.
In cases, like at the top end, it's $40+ million.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what Wiggins' contract is, but it's probably in the 20s or close to it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it to me, what the NBA did was just pure and utter common sense. Common sense.
I apologize for not turning my telephone off.
$5 fine.
There's a $5 fine there.
Yeah.
Let me turn it off now just to make sure that it doesn't ring again. Well, there's no debate here. We're both in agreement. The NBA did exactly the right policy.
I don't think we've heard the end of it, though, Bob. I really don't. I think that...
Meaning you think the players will revolt against this? Or some will?
I think some will, yeah. I mean, just the fact, Bob. I mean, earlier this week, we heard LeBron finally got vaccinated. Vaccines have been available in the United States since December. He's LeBron James. Seriously.
Well, it raises this question. Did he do it because he felt like I have to do it to get to play? Or because LeBron James is in the inner circle, as in the inner circle as you can be, did he know that this pronouncement from the league was at hand?
Well, if I was Adam Silver, I'd be phoning LeBron James saying, here's exactly the rule coming. Here's the rule coming. And by the way,
exactly.
you better be leading the charge, LeBron.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we're at. I'm watching a little bit last night. I know you were stuck in traffic for
I was very close to your house for a long time, Bob.
Well, for a long time, I wasn't here because I was out trying to get something to eat and could not.
You should have walked, as I told you yesterday. You could have walked. Where,
the only place I can walk to was pitch black. It was shut. Literally, I got there.
Yeah.
It took me 45 minutes to make a 1.5-minute drive. I got there. It was a blackout. My house was fine. You know, like 300 yards away, everything was on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the street, I don't know what the hell happened.
No, neither do I. But it was...
mess. Oh, my God.
10,000. I mean, and I actually, you know, when I started to travel, I thought, man, this baseball traffic's heavy.
Well, you were going into the city, right?
I was going into the city.
Yeah. I was going around the corner.
Well, hope everybody's all right. I hope there was nothing serious. But gosh, that was rather a lengthy night. Although I did enjoy Ben Wagner on the radio, I must tell you.
Well, he does a good job. And
he does a good job.
He's worked alone all year.
Which know. Is,
a reflection of his skill set and also Roger's cheapness.
That's the magic of minor league baseball, right? Minor league baseball.
Almost invariably, a guy works alone, yeah.
By himself, creating that aura and that conversation with the guy with his, I'm going to date myself, with his transistor radio, now with his iPod, his earbuds in. He does a really good job of creating a dialogue with the listener. I like him
more and more every time I listen to him.
Yeah,
I respect him immensely for doing it alone. And he shouldn't be put in that position.
And the other thing, Bob, is part of his play-by-play. He gets excited. You know, there's a lot of guys that come out of the minor leagues that just start yelling in the first inning and yell louder in the ninth. He doesn't. He builds his drama. He was fun to listen to. Really enjoyable.
Now, the preceding message from John Shannon, president of
the Ben Wagner fan club.
Ben Wagner fan club. Exactly.
Have you ever met him? Have you met Ben?
Yes. Yes. He was in studio with me when he first got hired.
I haven't met him.
And we actually had him on Primetime Sports. You'll remember that show.
Where was that?
That was on some Peanut Whistle radio station.
Okay.
We had him on when he was doing the Bisons games.
Now, you know what? On a
semi-regular basis.
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember. But I never was able to meet him.
And I could be wrong, but I believe you know, the AAA season ends earlier than the major league season. And I believe Ben came up to Toronto for the end of the major league season several years ago when he was still doing the Bisons games. And I think that's the first time we had him in studio, found out that he was going to be in town and invited him in to chat. So yes, I have met him. Haven't seen him in quite a while. Anyway, you hijacked the conversation. That's not what I wanted to talk about, but that's
what do you want to talk about?
Well, so in the midst of this chaos out here in Mr. and Mississauga last night, the Leafs played the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I did flip over on a couple of occasions from the baseball game between innings.
Why?
Exactly. That is exactly the question that I was asking myself. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And I looked at the roster of the Maple Leafs. It's a bunch of guys named who? And this is now the third exhibition game. And okay, there's a sprinkling of regulars who are going to play, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If the exhibition season is not about getting your game legs under you for the regular guys, what is it?
Well,
what exactly are we learning here? It's a bunch of guys who are going to play with the Marlies who played Ottawa last night. They have no chance of making the team.
Or going back to junior. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's one guy that will surprise us.
It's funny. Edmonton was in Winnipeg last night, and the Oilers had come off two home games where they had won two games. One of them was 4-0. The other was 6-0. Actually, no, they were in Calgary. So they won their first two games. They hadn't allowed a goal. So everybody's, you know, cocksure about how good the team is playing and how solid things are.
Is that your phone?
It's not my cell phone.
Well, it's the house.
I still have it's the landline. You know, it could be the White House.
POTUS.
It could be POTUS. You never know. It could be the hotline. You know,
be POTUS.
Yeah. My problem is I don't think he'll remember if he called me. So,
oh please.
Well, he doesn't remember being told about Afghanistan.
Well, the last president would have had you shot if you didn't answer the phone. So you pick your poison.
Anyway, so they go to Winnipeg last night and they put on the Oilers go in, and there's a roster. I honestly did not recognize five names. Now you have to put eight NHLers in your lineup, but I didn't recognize very many guys and they got waxed by the Jets. So,
well, but the same thing last night. And I'm sitting there watching. I said, what is the point of this? Like, I'm not learning anything. They're not learning anything. These decisions principally have been made. Why do we need, and how many exhibition games, preseason games do they play? 6 or 7?
Some teams play 6. Some pay up to 8.
Okay. Well, I was pretty close, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Why? If the teams aren't going to use them for the purpose of making roster decisions, and we know there was, how many people were in Ottawa last night in the arena?
I don't know how many.
Sprinkling.
Yeah.
It was a sprinkling. So it's not positive revenue generating.
But some places it is.
What the hell's the point?
Some places it is. Winnipeg has had 2 home games and they've been full both times.
Well, good for them.
And that's a lot of money.
That's nice.
That's a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money everywhere else.
No, but
I would not pay 1/10 the face value of a ticket to see a bunch of guys that I can see for $5 in the AHL if I want to.
Right. But you know, a lot of teams still, and you know this, and you've talked about this countless times in countless years, a lot of teams still put preseason games into their season ticket packages. And well, you're buying 41 games. That's
just
right.
A ripoff.
You're buying 41 games.
I get it, John. That's not the issue. The issue isn't the economics. The issue is, why are they doing it beyond economics?
That's the only thing. There's nothing beyond it.
The premise of you need these exhibition games is nonsense. And look, I'm not singling out the NHL. Major League Baseball, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You don't need 25, 30 spring training games. You don't need them. in the NFL, they've cut back now. Now they're playing 3 preseason games, right? And 17 regular season games.
Right.
They need 1, maybe 2. Wow. 2 would be probably the ideal number. And even then, your starting quarterback's only going to play half of 1 game.
Well, just as an example, the 56-game schedule that the NHL finished last year, do you know any preseason games there were?
None.
And the regular season went on without a hitch, except for COVID.
Well, yeah. And were the games horrible at the beginning of the year?
Not they were, noticeably. They were okay. They were fine.
Yeah, not noticeably.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's strictly, to me, it's still just a revenue grab by teams that stick it into their season ticket package. Fact that somebody televised that game last night means that there was money changing hands to televise the game, you know, so that's why they're doing it.
Well, the other thing I watched very briefly, and I mean very briefly, as you will attest, and I think the audience will too, the Toronto FCs played last night too at home.
Yes, I know. I drove by. There was nobody in the building. It was empty. It was shocked.
Family and friends.
Yeah.
And they could have had 30,000 in there.
It was a beautiful night, too.
They could have had 30,000 in there. That wasn't a nothing crowd. Yeah, because
the team's not very good, Bob.
No, they stink.
Yeah, their team's bad. So.
And are soccer fans more fair weather than others? I don't know. Maybe they're spoiled. And maybe a bunch of them stayed home because the Blue Jay game was on television. I'm sure that had something to do with it. Although I don't see soccer fans choosing a Blue Jay game over a soccer game.
Yeah, neither do I.
They're so enamored with this snore of a sport for reasons that are inexplicable. It could be nothing more than complete and utter stupidity. But whatever the reason is,
yeah,
I don't think that many of them stayed home because the Blue Jay game was on. They just didn't want to watch this stinky soccer team.
Yeah, that's right. But give them credit. Maybe they know the game well enough to say, I'm not going to waste any money going to a game with a team that's not playing very well.
Well, and you look at, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of soccer other than my Spurs.
That was the most obvious statement you've made.
Well,
in
I know,
five
but
weeks.
I do watch the Spurs when they're on.
Closest thing I get to soccer right now is I watch Ted Lasso every Friday night. So,
oh, good for you. I haven't seen that yet.
By the way.
I don't have to watch it. Don't tell me I have to watch it because you say that all the time.
Every time
you mention a TV show, you say, "Oh, Bob, you got to watch it."
You would enjoy it. I didn't say
you
have
don't
to
know
watch
that.
It. Yes, I do, Bob.
I don't know that. I don't know whether I would enjoy it. So how could you possibly know? Because you enjoy something. It leads me to believe there's less likelihood that I would enjoy it than even normal.
Okay, Bob, don't watch it. You won't like it.
Well, then I'm going to turn it on tonight. So they're in bad shape, the Toronto FCs.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I don't understand. Here's a question for you. Is there another sport where the difference between the elite level of the game and the level, say, 2 rungs down is more dramatic than in soccer? So if you went to see is the IHL still in existence?
No.
What's the third level of pro hockey?
ECHL.
That's right, ECHL. You go to an ECHL game, is it that obvious that these guys aren't of NHL quality? If you go to a double A minor baseball game, is it that obvious? If you go to a Division II college football game, is it that obvious? I don't think it's as obvious anywhere, more obvious than in soccer. And the MLS, quite frankly, is horrible. I get you want to be a Toronto fan or a Vancouver fan or a Montreal fan. Who else has got a team?
In Canada? No, that's it.
So I get it. You know, you're a soccer fan. This is what you got.
Mm-hmm.
But Lordy, it stinks. It's a bad product. And every soccer fan knows it's a bad product. They may not want to admit it, but they know it. And they know it because if they're watching Toronto FC, they're watching Serie A, Premier League, wherever their historic reference takes them on Saturdays or Sundays or whenever they watch that. They know. And you can watch 5 minutes of a Premier League game and then put 5 minutes of an MLS game on and you go, holy cow.
Okay, so, but let me ask you that. Is the play that bad or the atmosphere that different?
No, it's the play. It has nothing to do with the atmosphere.
Oh, because, I mean, that's one of the things, I mean.
No, I mean, it has nothing when you to talk do with
about,
the atmosphere.
When you talk about Tottenham, and I mean, there's nothing like going to a Premier League game and listening to the fans.
Well, that's fine, but that's not what I'm referring to, John.
You're talking to what happens on the pitch.
100%. Wow. Purely what I see on the field. The ability to control the ball, to make accurate passes, to keep possession for extended periods of time. Yes, occasionally in, you know, the Premiership, guys give the ball away. That happens every 10 seconds in MLS. Somebody gets the ball and screws up and makes a bad pass and the other team takes over. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the guy who's clicking the clock on possession to try and figure out who had the ball more often. Because you're pushing that button like
I don't think it's as bad as you. I don't think it's as bad. I think they've made great progress.
Well, you know me; I don't exaggerate. So
no. It's. I mean, listen. You're now that bandwagon TFC guy. They're a bad team, so the soccer's bad. That's not fair.
No. The soccer was bad when they were the best team. It has always been bad, which is why I'm not interested in it. More than just soccer. Soccer, as a general rule, puts me to sleep. But I do have a significant appreciation for high-quality soccer. It is a completely different
enterprise. Well, I don't disagree with you there. I don't disagree with
you. Of course you don't, because I'm right.
Well,
now we'll take a break and come back to wrap this up in just a few seconds. Stick around. Back after this. McCowan and Shannon with you. We're solo today, in case you missed it. I guess I don't have to say that, because nobody would be tuning into this podcast, you know, 38 minutes in or 45 minutes in, would they?
Like no, radio. No, but, and it's also, yeah, that's right. And they're not changing the dial in the car, because they're not in the car unless they're in a bad traffic jam.
Well, they could be in the car and listening to us.
But they're going to start at
minute 45.
That's right.
I don't think, would they?
Would they
be doing bum, 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 bum on the 30-second button?
I don't think so.
What do I know about podcasts? Nothing.
Well, you certainly didn't know much 2 years ago. You know more now.
Well, I knew nothing 2 years ago. I knew next to nothing a year ago.
I remember sitting with you
almost nothing 6 months ago.
I remember sitting with you in the studio, and you're leaning back. You got your feet on the desk. He says, "So what is this podcast stuff? How do we make a podcast?" And the answer was, well, Bob, you're actually doing a podcast right now.
Well, no, I didn't say, how do we make a podcast? I said, how the hell do you make money at a podcast? That's what I said.
Have we figured that out yet?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Okay, good. Good.
You know, we're not rich anymore or independently wealthy. Now, mind you, for some of us, there are other things that have come into a play.
No, tell me, really. Do say.
The big D has struck again. So
sorry for laughing.
Well, you've never been through it, so shut up. I am a veteran. I am a veteran. You'd think I'd know better.
34 years of bliss, Bob.
But there are certain things. God bless you. Well, that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Mickey.
You're right about that.
Who has tolerated you beyond belief. And I'm going to have a chat with her, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because I think you should be in a similar financial position to me. And only Mickey can make that happen.
That's right.
To the best of my knowledge.
Well, 50% of nothing is...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it's half of nothing. I don't know what that number is, but I've been perilously close to it. I got news for you.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that's it for us.
We'll do a show tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
And we'll have a guest.
You want to tell people who's coming on?
I haven't confirmed the second guest. I want to make sure it's going to be good though. We'll have some fun.
Is the guy from Montreal confirmed?
No.
Oh, he's the one?
Yeah.
The guy from Toronto is confirmed?
Yes.
Well, that's good. I look forward to chatting with him again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it'll be good. Maybe we'll get a guy from somewhere else.
Is he still doing his podcast?
No.
He isn't?
Gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, gone.
Well, but he has a new gig, and we'll we'll mention that.
And for the record,
we won't talk a lot about it.
For the record,
because I have no desire to promote that.
No, but we booked.
We will mention it.
We booked him long before he got that gig. We were ahead of. We booked our guest tomorrow before
we knew about this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. This is a circumstance.
Right, just like Jim Houston. We booked Jim Houston before we knew he was retiring.
Well, Houston announced his retirement in deference to us, I think. Right. Knowing he was going to be on the podcast the next day, he thought, well, I better have something to say, so I'll retire.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, he's still happy retired.
He's still happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give him another week. For John Shannon, this is Bob McCowan. We'll see you tomorrow with somebody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See ya.